Today, as well as tomorrow and Wednesday, we will be looking at the three great enemies of our faith, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And today we see that reflected in our first reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Jesus once said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish." What a picture that is of the Holy Christian Church. We have been caught in the net of God's grace. We have heard the wonderful message of the gospel. We've come to understand that because of our sins, none of us could ever get to heaven by ourselves. But God, in his great love and mercy, sent his Son to be our Redeemer, to rescue us from sin, has made the great sacrifice, paid the great sacrifice of atonement for us to buy us back to God. Our sins are now fully forgiven. What a blessing it is to be caught in the net of the gospel, that God has spread the net of his grace over us and now desires to pull us to his side and ultimately to heaven. In the text before us, we hear about an adversary that we have that wants to prevent us from ultimately staying with the church. The imagery in our text deals with a lion seeking out its prey. Today I would like to use the visual image, if you will, of a fisherman. While we are still in the water, being drawn in the net of the Holy Christian Church, but not yet out of this life, while we are still in the water being drawn toward Christ, the devil has also now cast his line out into the middle of the net, amidst the fish who have been caught in that net, hoping to steal us out of the net of God's grace and to pull us out of the kingdom of grace. All of the other fish that are in the sea that are outside of the net's reach, he doesn't have to worry about them. They're already in his control and in his grasp. But those who are in the net are the ones he must now dedicate his time and his attention to trying to pull away. If you've ever done any fishing, especially trolling or casting, you probably have seen a certain type of fishing lure that's red and white striped, and it's aptly called a daredevil. It was invented over 100 years ago, and the claims by its manufacturer are that it has won more tournaments, caught more fish than any other daredevil, than any other fishing lure. I know my dad used to fish for northern pike, and he said there was a certain size daredevil that he liked to use that he thought was the hardest for them to resist. A wise fisherman knows exactly the type of lure to pick for each type of fish: northern pike, walleye, perch, sunfish, muskie, whatever the fish. A wise fisherman knows which one works best with which fish. And so it is with the devil. He studies each one of us individually. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows the places where he can attack us. He has studied us well. And he then tries to come up with the thing that can lure us the best, that can be the most attractive to our eye and to our hearts. The fisherman, Satan, preys upon the fish's desire to eat. He always preys upon our appetite, the thing that we want to consume in this world and in this life. And so he dangles in front of us things that must appear to be good for us. They must appear to be attractive to our eye. They must appear to be beneficial for us, for our lives. They must appear to be non-threatening. And they must appear to be easy for us to manage and to get a hold of and to control. But ultimately, all of these temptations he puts in front of us have the barb of death in them. The hook has to always be well disguised in the lure. And so it is with sin. The devil always has to disguise the hook as best he can in order to catch us. When we kind of toy with sin, the way a fish may nudge at a fishing lure, we must not forget its source. We must not forget who's really on the other end of the line. Just like a fish that cannot see the one who is, in a sense, tempting him, so it often is with us when it comes to how our adversary comes at us. We forget who's on the other end of the line because we can't see him. And we assume that all we're dealing with is this little interesting, shiny, attractive thing in our lives that appears to benefit us. And we forget to make the connection back to the one in the boat, to the one who ultimately wants to possess us and control us. And so when we analyze the sin, all we see is this tiny, fun portion in front of us, and we forget to see the more deadly process and plan that it's connected to. How many souls right now are being butchered in hell who at one time were inside of that safety net of God's grace, loving Christ, clinging to the forgiveness of their sins, looking forward to heaven, but who found themselves attracted by some particular daredevil, some particular thing that lured them, and they decided to bite on it, and they got caught to such an extent that they could not let go. I remember when I was a little boy going into the fish house with my dad, watching him ultimately clean a fish. The first time, I think I almost hurled because it just looked so gross. To see that fish's head cut off and the insides pulled out, and then seeing him fillet it down and so on. This is the ultimate end game for the fisherman. It's not just to, the purpose of the daredevil in the fishing process is not just to have fun and play with the fish, the way a child maybe does with a hook on the dock and so on. It's not just to puncture a hole in the fish's lip. It's ultimately to control the fish, to possess the fish, destroy and devour the fish. And so it is with our adversary. We need to remember that when it comes to sin. His ultimate goal is not just to get us to fall into that sin. Big deal. It's over and done and past. In a sense, who cares? But if he can possess us, and if he can continue to pull us to himself and away from Christ and out of the net of his church, this is really his ultimate goal. He is seeking whom he may ultimately devour. And so we need to, first of all, recognize the hook, the lure, for what it truly is. Joseph in the Old Testament, when he was allured by Potiphar's wife, recognized the lure early on in the process when he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" To identify it before it gets its barbs into us. But even when we do fall and we do bite, and we do get our lips now stuck in that horrible hook, God teaches us in his word how to spit the hook out of our mouths by the work of the Holy Spirit, through the process of hearing his word, the process of contrition and repentance. There's a phrase that works through much of our catechism in the Lutheran Church that I love: daily contrition and repentance. That we, by daily contrition and repentance, remain in the faith. Contrition and repentance is not just something we do during Lent. It's not just something that we do once in a great while. It should be a daily activity for us as we lay our heads on our pillows at night. Daily contrition and repentance. Every day seeking God in his grace, confessing our sins to him. This is a very important process in the life of a Christian. It's the way by which we continue to spit the lure out of our mouths. One of the dangers that I face as an instructor in God's word is I have a tendency to professionalize God's Word and the doctrines of the church. I have a tendency to think of them only in terms of how I'm teaching them, and it can easily be separated from my devotional life. And I think the same thing can happen for us as students. We can begin to take this academic process of learning religion and treat it merely as academic and not let it sink in on a devotional level for us. That's a great temptation for us when we're, as we should be, studying the Word of God in our classes. And so may God help us to always go back, spit out the lure, and to seek His grace and His wonderful forgiveness in Christ, so that the hook does not embed itself in us and ultimately pull us to our destruction. And may we then swim back into the safe confines of the net of His church. Here there truly is safety in numbers, because we can help each other avoid the sins that may entangle us. And may we always keep in mind our ultimate goal, caught in that net of Christ and His grace and mercy and forgiveness, and that is to ultimately be pulled to His side in the mansions of heaven. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us join then in the collect on page 152. Page 152 should be collect number 41. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life, through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.